Well, hello, brethren. Spring holy days are fast approaching, aren't they? And with that comes so many things to do and review. We're thinking about the meaning of the Passover symbols, the bread and the wine. We'll hear more about those later. You're thinking about the meaning of unleavened bread, what that means. Maybe looking at stories of the Exodus and how that applies to us and our Christian walk. Lessons that we can glean from that, looking at all those things so that we can get the most out of the days of unleavened bread and the Passover. And there's one that we don't talk about quite as much. That's foot washing. Of course, during the Passover service, we take the bread and the wine. But before that, we wash one another's feet. And that's one thing that it's good for us to review. So let's ask the question, what does foot washing mean? What does that mean? While you're thinking about it, let's turn to John 13. But don't be too quick to answer as you're thinking about it. You may have a few things that pop to mind, but don't be too quick to answer. John 13, and we'll start in verse 4. He, Jesus, rose from supper and laid aside his garments. This is during the Passover meal. Just before taking the symbols, he laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then came he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered unto him and said, What I do now know you not now, but you shall know hereafter. So Jesus did this, and it surprised the disciples, and Peter, being the more outspoken one, he made his surprise known. And you're washing my feet? And notice that Jesus said, you don't know what I'm doing right now, but you will know it hereafter. That means later. And so later he would understand what Jesus was doing, the meaning behind what he was doing. But then Jesus Christ did something interesting. He said, you're going to understand this later, Peter. But then immediately after doing it, he explained what he did. It's a little bit strange, but he explained what he did in verse 12. So after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you not what I have done unto you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I've done unto you. So it's a command that we do it during the Passover service. Wash one another's feet. But he said, you call me master and Lord. You say, well, but he washed your feet. You should wash one another's. So the quick answer to this, and one that we'll often say, is that foot washing is a lesson in humble service. And that's true. That may have come to your mind. There's a few other ways you could go with it too, but it's a lesson in humble service. But again, let's not be too quick to just say, that's what it is, and be done. There's much, much more here. That's one of the reasons why Jesus said, you're going to understand this more hereafter. And the disciples throughout their lives would have talked about this, becoming apostles. And every Passover service that they would have had, they would have thought about this and it had a deeper and deeper meaning. The same is true for us. Foot washing can mean more and more and more throughout our lives, kind of the hereafter, more than the first time we understand it and learn about it. So what are some of those things we should learn hereafter? That's what we're going to kind of look into today. So let's ponder these deeper lessons of foot washing so that we can more fully apply them in our lives. Of course, there's just the basics of it. Before we get into the deeper lessons, just the basics of it is that we wash one another's feet during the Passover service. And we have basins. Everyone brings a towel. And one of us you'll kneel down in front of another person, wash their feet, and switch places. And that's the basics of that part of the service. It's good to cover them because if you don't, you can be like some friends of mine years ago. There was two young ladies who had just been baptized, and they had their first Passover. And we split into men and women, and they were there by themselves. It was just them. And the minister had neglected to remind them to have towels. So they found themselves with wet feet, and it's like, how are we supposed to do this? What are we supposed to do? And they remembered the story of a woman drying Jesus' feet with her hair. Like, are we supposed to use our hair? Don't worry. I don't believe they used their hair. They found some paper towels, and that was what they did. But it's good to know those basics when you're new, and we'll often remind everyone, make sure you bring your towels. Don't forget that. But foot washing is a command. We saw some of that, but Jesus made it very clear in verse 15. I've given an example that you should do as I've done to you. So we definitely do it during the Passover service. But there's those lessons that apply outside of that act as well, throughout our lives. We don't wash feet, do we? We don't wash one another's feet anymore. We have shoes and don't have to worry about that. The Jewish Encyclopedia helped to explain foot washing for us modern folk. It said, since the Israelites, like all other people in the region, were ancient Israelites, like all other people in the region, wore sandals instead of shoes, as they usually went barefoot in the house, frequent foot washing of the feet was a necessity. Hence, among the Israelites, it was the first duty of the host to give his guest water for washing of his feet. To omit this was a sign of marked unfriendliness. This was a huge deal in ancient times, making sure you could wash feet. You think of all the travel marks and dirt and grime that get there from just walking around and the dust. So be able to wash your feet. It was important back then. We don't have that quite the same way, so we'll have to put ourselves in their sandals, almost said shoes, and in their sandals, and think that through so that we can understand that lesson of foot washing and expand it in our minds. So again, what are some of those lessons Jesus wanted us to learn hereafter, after just hearing the basics of it? Make sure you keep a bookmark, if you can, in John 13. That'll be our home base. We'll come back here often. So if you don't want to flip back to it, you can put a little bookmark in. But just a few pages later, Jesus expanded on what foot washing meant. And it brings up the first lesson of foot washing that we'll cover today, which foot washing symbolizes acts of love. Symbolizes acts of love. John 15 and verse 13. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So the Apostle John, when he was writing his gospel, he wrote it around 80, 90, somewhere in there. So later, he was putting together some of these details. He noticed that after the Passover service, this was said, that we should lay down our life for our friends. And that's love. Also, toward the end of his life, John wrote another book. It was 1 John. Let's go over there. 1 John. We can see this expanded, that we should be laying down our life for our friends. 1 John 3:16. This is also written toward the end of John's life. So we're seeing, after many years of pondering, both laying down your life for friends and also foot washing, here is what he came to understand, how he explained this attitude. Verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Of course, Jesus Christ gave his life. He was beaten and gave his life for all. He was crucified on a stake. And we don't have to do that. But what does that mean for us? Laying down our life for our friends, for our brethren. Verse 17 answers that. But whoso has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwell the love of God in him? Positive way to say that is, if you have this world's good, it could be more time, more money, more experience or wisdom, and then we see someone in need of those things, we should help them. And that's defined as laying down our life for others, giving of ourselves. Love is outflowing concern and care for others. And that's symbolized in the act of foot washing. But it's something that we should be doing in on many, many other aspects of our lives. Even though foot washing isn't being done today, we can have that attitude of foot washing and finding all the places where we should lay down our time, lay down our lives for others. Verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We think of truth a lot during the days of unleavened bread. It's the opposite. We don't want to be lying. We don't want to be hypocrites. We want to be sincere in our love toward one another. And verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall be assured of our hearts before him. So as we're examining ourselves before Passover, it's a good place to look at us as how much we're giving to others, how much we have that foot washing attitude, how much we're laying down of ourselves. And verse 19 shows that when we do these things and we can see that in our lives, that we're loving one another and doing that, that we can confidently go before God, that we can know that we're in the truth. It's very comforting, isn't it? So we've looked in John 15 and it talked about laying down our lives and love, tying it to love. And John, 1 John 3 was talking about love. How can we know for sure that's tied to foot washing? Well, Jesus emphasized loving one another over and over and over again in that context. Let's go back to John 13. So after introducing foot washing, this is what he said. Verse 34. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, you also love one another. That's the love of God, that outflowing care and concern, selflessness. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Again, tying love and care and concern and giving of ourselves to foot washing. It's in the context, and that is Jesus expanding on that. You can imagine John over his life thinking how Jesus Christ emphasized that over and over and over again. And that was an act of love in itself. As he knew he was going to be crucified, he was teaching these things, these important things, where he obviously had other things on his mind too, but wanted to make sure and emphasize these important lessons just before his crucifixion. But again, I said he emphasized it over and over again. That's in John 13. He kept talking about it in John 15. We were there earlier, but there's more times. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that man lay down his life for his friends. Finally, in verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. We don't often talk about love as much as the world does. Oh, you got to love Jesus. And it becomes trite. But this is the love of God. And it is a deeply tied into foot washing. And that attitude that we should have toward one another, giving of ourselves, laying down our lives for the brethren. And John got this. Clearly, he made sure he recorded it, and God inspired him to record it. But notice what he said in John 13, how he prefaced the whole account, the whole foot washing account. 13:1. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, his crucifixion, his death, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. So that's the theme that John places in this passage. So when you get to the foot washing, it's also emphasizing that as well. He loved them to the very end, his own. Laying down our life for our friends. Yet, that brings us to the next lesson, and we can get it out of the story as well, John 13, is that foot washing is not just for brethren. It's not just for brethren. So that foot washing attitude, us coming before our knees as we wash one another's feet, it applies beyond just brethren in the church. We just read in verse 1, so let's just continue on, verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So Judas was there. Judas was there. And verse 4, he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself, and he washed Judas's feet. It'd be very easy to lay down our lives and show love and care and concern to our brethren, but Jesus washed Judas's feet. You can imagine, because he already knew he betrayed him. Did Judas have the 30 pieces of silver on his person? The price that he got for betraying Jesus when he was there, sitting there, and he had his feet washed? Gets a little more difficult, isn't it? That foot washing attitude when you have to apply it to our enemies or people who are pushing against us and don't agree with God's way. Let's turn over to Romans 12. This passage helps us to think about this more and put it in practice. And it's loving your enemies is difficult. So putting it into practice, and how do we do that in our lives? Romans 12. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So remembering that vengeance will come, God's going to bring it. It's not something that we should be doing. Verse 20, therefore, if any enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. So while we're doing this, often there can be difficult people who are a little more difficult to work with. It can be at your job. It can be a landlord. It can be a lot of people where there's just that friction for whatever reason. And if we do good to them, look for places to feed them. If thirst, give them drink. It doesn't always need to be food related, but if they have a need, help them. But always be kind, and that can heap coals of fire on their head, and they can change, often will change their ways. Not always, but will soften those situations by doing that, by loving your enemies. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's another way we can look at foot washing. We can overcome evil with good. And another way that it can help us and bless us in our lives. Matthew 5. Jesus helped explain this attitude in Matthew 5. So foot washing is not just for brethren. It's for others too. We'll start in verse 44. Matthew 5, 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's a tall order, isn't it? To do all of those things. But it's, as we're examining ourselves leading into Passover, these are all good things to look into. Because it shows where that love, that care, concern, making sure that the love of God is in us and it's flowing to others too. Verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and to the unjust. So just as the Father does that, we should do it too. If we see someone needs help at work, and they could be difficult, they could always have sarcastic comments about us or just cutting, and just they could just be mean. But we should still be care about them. See, if we see need, help them with it. Be kind to them. That outflowing love should be there. Verse 46, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not the publicans so? Yet, in verse 45, become you perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Having that verse in context helps. We should become perfect in loving our enemies. Become perfect in blessing them that curse us. Doing good to them that hate us and persecute us. We should become perfect as Jesus was in loving our enemies. Luke 23. See an example of that. Luke 23. Verse 34. So this is Jesus had been crucified after he'd been beaten and on trial. His beard hair had been plucked out. And you think of all of those things. And his nails had been put through his wrists and his feet. And he's hanging there suffocating. And this is what was on his mind. Verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let that sink in. That brings that loving your enemies to life, doesn't it? That as he was dying for us, he asked the Father to forgive those who had crucified him. It puts it into perspective, doesn't it? It's a little different than just getting on our knees when we wash each other's feet. There's more there, isn't there? There's so much more there. Go to John 19. Just one more example. It somewhat fits into our earlier point, but it's Jesus while he's on the stake. And you can see his attitude, and no matter what was going on in his life, he's being crucified, he still had care and concern and compassion for others. John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, it was John, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. So another example of Jesus thinking about others. Even when things were going hard for him, that's an understatement. He was beaten more than any man and had ever been before. But he was thinking about others. That's the foot washing attitude of thinking of others, having care, having concern. This is a tall order, isn't it? I think, I'm just going to humbly serve. And it's, I'll help during services. And I will help brethren here or there. Look, there's a lot more here, isn't there? Which we knew, but when you put it all together, it starts to seem a little daunting, doesn't it? So how do we do that? How do we learn to perfectly love our enemies? How do we make sure we're laying down our lives for the brethren? Well, there's an example. Very few places that foot washing is mentioned in the Bible, but there's an example that helps to bring that to life. What does someone who's lived a life of foot washing, that attitude, look like? Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 5. And we'll start in verse 9. Well, first, verse 3. We'll start there. That shows some context for what's going on. It says, honor widows that are widows indeed. And what is being talked about here is about widows receiving financial assistance from the church, where they need help and need assistance. And it's some of the qualifications, making sure that they are indeed needing that, or should families help? It goes through all of that. But it mentions what a widow looks like, and someone who has given their life to kind of foot washing, so to speak, but all of the different ways that that's done. And help us, brethren, know what that looks like in our lives. So verse 9. Let not a widow be taken into the number, receiving assistance, under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Now notice all the things that she should be exhibiting. Well reported of good works. She has brought up children. She has lodged strangers. If she has washed the saints' feet. If she has relieved the afflicted. She has diligently followed every good work. So one of the lines in there is foot washing. She washed the saints' feet, which they would have been doing back then. But that was something, she wasn't above those tasks that were kind of thought to be lower or less than. She would get on her knees and wash the saints' feet. But notice the other parts here. She's well reported for good works. You can feel like you're not living up to that standard. Brethren, you are well reported for good works. Your ministers know it. And others and brethren see it. But that's one example. Well reported for good works. Parents, you can exhibit a foot washing attitude too with your children. There's a lot of humble service, isn't there, for helping your kids. But you're helping to play out God's plan in making more potential God beings and raising them so they can be ready to learn God's way as well. Lodging strangers, helping those you may not know well. But that goes back to helping those in the world where we can. Obviously, the brethren are the main focus, but if there's an opportunity to help someone, we should. Relieving the afflicted, and look at this. Diligently followed after every good work. We should be doing that. We should be diligent in looking for places where we can have and do good works. Of course, making sure we're not overextending ourselves, but diligence. Make this part of our job is to be foot washers. And that humble service, giving of ourselves, outflowing concern for others. That talks a little more about brethren. And there's strangers in there and different things. But brethren, we talked about loving your enemies. How do we do that? How do we love our enemies and make sure we're ready in a foot-washing attitude for them? This is said often, but it helps me, brethren, all the time, and I'm sure it helps you. But it's to treat everyone as a potential God being, knowing that that God may call them in the future, will call them in the future, and that they can become part of the God family as well. Genesis 18. If you treat them as a God being, serving them becomes easy. This is the only other time that foot washing is explicitly mentioned in the Bible, but it's also tied to service. So Genesis 18, we have Abraham here, and verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So Abraham was there, and he was resting in the heat. It was hot. But he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them at the tent of the door and bowed himself to the ground. So the Lord appeared. So God came to visit Abraham. And his first thing that he did was ran. He ran to meet them. Think for us, if we're serving others and helping others, if you're thinking of them, treating them like God, you'll be quick to act. If we can help that, make that and make a part of how we think, it helps make it easy to act, and you will be quick to act. And this is emphasized over and over again in this passage. So he ran to meet them in verse 2 at the tent door and bowed himself to the ground. And he said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray you, from your servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet. and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts. After that you shall pass on. For therefore you shall come to your servant. And they said, do as you said. Again, being quick to act, Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah. And he said, make ready quickly 3 measures of meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. So he was busy. He snapped to action. Wouldn't we all, brethren, if God came to visit us? We'd be quick and haste and make sure. If there was a surprise visit from Jesus Christ or the Father, we would do those things. Of course, if we're viewing everyone as a potential God being, it helps us do the same. Verse 7, Abraham ran to the herd and fetched a calf and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. So continuing to move quickly, and took butter and milk and the calf, and he dressed it and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Remembering that God plans to call all mankind, that they can all be in the God family, can help us to have that foot-washing attitude, to love our enemies. But we have to remind ourselves of that. So that helps us to lower ourselves and be humbled and then help everyone with whom we should be helping. The final lesson is that foot washing is a lesson for our salvation. Helps us understand our salvation more. Foot washing is a lesson for our salvation. Back to John 13. We saw in verse 1, God, that Jesus loved others. Verse 2, Judas was there. And verse 3, as John's setting up this story, kind of brings out the next lesson. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he rose up from supper, laid aside his garments, and washed feet. In the world, when someone knows that they have all things in their hands, that means all authority, God had given it to him, they would think, I have all authority, and I will rule, and they're going to rule. But no, that's not the attitude that Jesus had. He knew all of these things, and he laid aside his garments, took a towel, and he washed feet. So God wants us to learn to be under authority before we're in authority. That's the lesson here. Turn to Luke 22. Luke 22. God wants us to learn to be under authority before we're in authority. In verse 24, Luke 22:24. And there was also strife among them, which of them should be counted the greatest. This was often something the disciples discussed. There's a few other times that it's mentioned. But who's going to be the best and the biggest and have the most in the kingdom? And Jesus said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. This is how it looks in the world. And that they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. We shouldn't be like this. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that does serve. But whether is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serves? Is it not he that sits at meat? But I am among you as he that serves. So as we're washing each other's feet during the Passover, we're enacting this command. It's a small way to demonstrate that. It symbolizes this command. Jesus came to serve. We should be doing the same. Before we're able to rule in the kingdom of God, we should be servants. Don't let all these lessons pass you by as we're washing feet during the Passover service. Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse 1. We should have that same attitude that Jesus did, that he knew that all authority, all things were given unto him, and yet he was a servant. Start in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, in any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That's so much easier when we're laying down our lives for each other, brethren, when we're giving to each other. We can be of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. This is help explaining and kind of fleshing out that foot-washing attitude we've been talking about, isn't it? We shouldn't esteem others better. We should esteem others better than ourselves. Help us be humble. That removes strife, doesn't it? And friction that may be there when we come in humbly. To remind ourselves to do that often, don't we? Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So making sure we're covering up what we need to do to make sure that we're not overextending ourselves, like we mentioned earlier, making sure our lives and our spiritual lives are in order. You can serve your way out of the church if you're not doing it the right way, with the love of God, making sure that we are in the right place spiritually. But look on one another. See where those needs are so that you can give. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who, being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and made himself in the likeness of men. So Jesus Christ was God, and he came down, and he became a foot washer. And you know all that that means. It's not just washing feet during Passover. It's so much more. Verse 8. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Again, think of all of this. He was beaten, crucified. And he gave of himself in that way. How interesting and how amazing that God tied foot washing to the Passover symbols, where we have an act of humble service in the true way, with God's love and care and concern, laying down your life for everyone. That we should be doing that before we take the symbols past the bread and the wine, which show the greatest act of service of all kind, of all time. That's our older brother, that we can do like he did. Obviously not to that extent, but everywhere that we can, brethren, we can give ourselves sacrifice. These are the deeper lessons. These are the things that we can learn hereafter as we dig into the foot washing. We may have done it for a few years. We may have done it for just once, or may have done it for decades. And there's always more to learn. There's always more to learn, and it deepens. That we can become ultimately like John and at the end of his life and seeing these things and the deep meanings of them, or that widow typified in Timothy. Verse 9. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. So Jesus Christ kneeled and washed feet. He came and he kneeled, and ultimately every knee will bow to him. Same for us, brethren. We must become humble ourselves, learn to become under authority so that we can, before we're in authority. So every Passover, as the service starts, there's a few opening comments, and then we separate and we wash feet. Don't let these deeper meanings pass you by, brethren. Think about them as you get on your knees. Take off socks and shoes and you're washing feet. This is what to ponder and think about before you do it and as you're doing it. Remember Jesus Christ's example. He humbled himself until death. We can give our lives and our time and effort to brethren in a similar way. One more verse in John 13. Turn back there again. Brethren, we should be humbling ourselves that God can exalt us in due time, shouldn't we? So never forget all of these deeper lessons of foot washing. And there's probably more. You can dig into it and ponder it and think about it and talk to brethren about it, just as the disciples would have anciently. And we can do that now to learn more and more about all the richness that comes from God's way of life. But don't forget these lessons so that we can lead lives of outflowing care and concern for everyone, for brethren and those in the world. John 13:17. If we know these things, Jesus said, happy, extremely blessed are you if you do them. So brethren, we know what a foot washing attitude is. So let's, and all of the things that flow off of doing that. So let's do them.